Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Here we are then, episode 41 of the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Thank you very much for giving it a listen. Why don't you subscribe if you haven't already? Because then we'll deliver every single one to you throughout the off-season and all through the season as well. At iTunes, just search for the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. That's maybe, well, how you find it. I'm Tim, that's JB.
Hi, Tim.
And that is Phil.
Hi, Tim.
How much effort did you just put into that hi, Tim, JB? Because you sound you don't sound like a man who's fresh off a stag do.
No, no. I'm worried. I think by the end of this podcast, well, the end of next one, I'm going to be struggling a lot.
How are you feeling? You all right? Got the shakes?
Yeah. Well, I'm still sweating cold stuff. I'm not feeling great, no. And yesterday was even worse. I'm getting over it slowly.
Yeah, I'm slowly starting to feel more normal. I've slept about four times since we got back.
It's not the most aggressive hangover that I've had, but it's certainly the most long-lasting. Well, I think I've hacked years off my life.
Well, we've got something on the podcast in a little bit, or someone on the podcast in a little bit, that maybe is the sort of guy either you, depending on your point of view, you definitely do or you definitely don't want on your stag do.
Interesting.
And also we've got a fan-free agency, Phil, no longer a player for Sedgley Park, where he was from age six through to now. He's going to experience what it's like to follow a team, and there's going to be some more clubs that are pitching to be the club that Phil decides to follow. And as well as all of that, and to kick us off, how about a rugby social? Rugby players, they do love getting on Twitter, don't they? So I've got some of the tweets from rugby players who, of course, are starting pre-season or on their off-season. So here are some tweets, and Phil and JB are going to try and guess what they were talking about. First tweet comes from Kai Griffiths, who spent the time with London Welsh. He's now gone back to Ospreys. And did Kai Griffiths...
I played it as Kai Griffiths, by the way.
Did you?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's playing Carnarvon. And our prop, Mark Edwards, absolutely hammered him that day.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he absolutely hammered him.
Well, Kai Griffiths, he was of London Welsh last season on loan. He's now back at Ospreys. Did he tweet, "Pre-season training gets you one of these, Adam Jones," and then had a picture of his six-pack? Did he say, "Money doesn't buy you one of these, Bristol," and then tweet a picture of his championship medal? or did he tweet, "Going back to Wales gets you lots of these," and a picture of a sheep on a hillside outside Swansea? He tweeted one of those three things. Which was it?
I want it to be the medal. I desperately want it to be the medal. I think it's a sheep.
I'm going to say the six-pack to Adam Jones.
No chance.
You're both wrong. It was the medal.
It was the medal.
Oh, no.
He tweeted a picture of the Green King IPA English Championship medal and tagged at Bristol Rugby Club.
I said,
"Money doesn't get you one of these, Bristol."
I was going to say, I would hope he'd be a better winner than that. But
yeah. It takes the edge off it, doesn't it, when you've been released? It's like, not sure you're quite good enough for that medal.
That's not particularly humble in victory, is it?
Yeah, no.
But that's what he tweeted. You can check it out. Next one then, and it comes from, an already registered member of Banter Squad, Joe Marler. And he was fully, once again with his tweets, he's always, you know, totally letting you see exactly why he's a member of the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast's Banter Squadron, the elite squadron of banter specialist, and Joe Barler has been inventing hashtags on Twitter designed to embarrass his England and Quinn's teammates.
Was it hashtag All Blacks?
No. He posted a picture of England teammate Jeff Parling and invented a new hashtag. Was it a picture of Jeff Parling with the hashtag Muppet Monday? Was it the hashtag Tosser Tuesday? Or was it the hashtag Weirdo Wednesday?
I'll say Weirdo Wednesday.
Oh, you're wrong. It's definitely Muppet Monday. 100% Muppet Monday.
Phil's right.
Yeah. Oh!
Weirdo Wednesday. So you can only draw, JB, with this one. And it comes from Luke Narraway, now of London Irish.
Son of a butcher, as he used to keep on saying when he got picked for England.
Fresh in London. Did he tweet, third day in London, third 1 hour traffic jam? Did he say, third day in London, wallet stolen and a parking ticket? Or did he say, third day in London, third duck hoisin wrap?
Pre-season, I don't think we'll be having many duck hoisin wraps.
Do many London Irish players live in London? Or they live more on Reading Way?
Sunbury is where the training ground is. It's kind of just outside Twickenham and Richmond, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So I think a lot of them live in Sunbury.
So maybe they do live around there.
I think like Quinns and London Welsh and London Irish boys all kind of have coffees together and mingle quite a lot.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, so it'd be quite easy then for Marlon Yard just to, you know, switch clubs. Doesn't have to leave his mates.
Yeah, doesn't have to switch groups of friends.
Okay, where's he? He's come from France. I'm going to say hoisin wraps because I don't think there's many hoisin wraps knocking around Clermont when he was there.
Perpignan,
sorry.
No, you're probably right about that. I'm going to say that the parking ticket, lost a wallet and a parking ticket.
Phil's rinsing it. 2-0.
He's unbeatable.
He is unbeatable. I'll tell you what, I've got one from David Flatman as well. Let's just do this one. It's academic at this point. But David Flatman, did he tweet that he went to see Elton John followed by Coronas at Andy Good's house? Did he tweet that he went to see Kasabian followed by Red Stripe at Ollie Barkley's house? Or went to see One Direction followed by some Pinot Grigio at Nick Easter's house? David Flatman. Old Flats, what do you reckon?
There's no way he's exchanging texts with Ollie Barkley.
They were back together, weren't they?
But Ollie Barkley, has he gone to London Welsh as well?
Yep.
He has, hasn't he? So he's no longer in Llanelli.
Good game's a quick game.
would say the least appealing one would be Ollie Barkley's house and Red Stripe's terrible beer. But I think they've got history, which they have got history, and I'm going to say that's the one.
Okay, Phil, what are you going with?
I know that Andy Good, have you seen, there was a little thing on the Wasps website about what Andy Good's pre-season has been. He's just coming back to pre-season after spending a relaxing week in Dubai with the family and then a week in Vegas with the lads. So I'm going to say it's not Andy Good, it's Nick Easter.
It's Andy Good.
It's Andy Good. So you had time for
Elton bit. John and Corona's at Andy Good's house.
Wow.
There you go. And that is, again, with the lack of games, that is social media and rugby
one game.
Players. Rugby social. Oh, there was one game. Let's talk about that one game.
Well, there was more than one game.
There was more than one game. You're right. You're quite right. Let me take it back. There was some rugby. There wasn't England playing, so that means I care much less, but you're quite right. Go on.
The most important game, the biggest game, was probably South Africa, Scotland, which surprisingly wasn't the biggest scoring game, even though it was 55-6.
Fern Cotter's unbeaten run came to a shuddering and sudden halt.
Yes, it did.
It's not quite so easy. And it just shows us exactly what a joke team Scotland actually are.
How much of this is that's just how good South Africa are?
No.
And how much of it is how bad Scotland are? Because South Africa didn't have a full team.
Well, they had five uncapped players.
Including Andre Pollard, who was mentioned
awesome.
On the show.
Looks very good.
And his little mate in the centre, who's not so little. And I can't say his name.
Jan Servantes.
That's the one. Yeah, those two are going to be around together for a long time yet. Vern Cotter started his post-match interview with, as much as we hate losing. No, you're coaching Scotland. You love losing. I pulled up some stats on Scotland. And they've got the wooden spoon roughly about 25% of the time that they've taken part in the Six Nations, Home Nations / Old Five Nations.
Good knowledge.
Yeah, it gets better because you need to look at all the top rugby playing nations, and it's not till you get to Tonga that you find a team which Scotland have beaten more than they've beaten them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fact.
Oh yeah.
Wow, it's knowledge being just left all over the place.
They are a joke.
You're opening your kit bag and just throwing knowledge around the changing room.
But yeah, I mean, not just the rugby team as a nation, they like and they like to lose. I even looked at the last time that they won anything at football. I've only got 6 wins in major tournaments since 1930. So, and that's their national game.
Wow.
So yeah, they. Yeah, they've lost quite a lot in the past, and I imagine they're going to lose in the future too. But I do think that something else interesting has happened over the summer, which is the rise of the second-tier nations and how competitive, like, that next tier down is.
Yeah. We talked about Japan last time,
yeah,
didn't we?
Yeah, because Japan are now in the top 10, the top 10 IRB rankings.
Which is great for them. And USA, again, beat Canada for the first time in there.
Yeah, an incredibly close game. Like, they're both improving.
Canada should have beaten Scotland. There's no two ways about it. The worst red card since Jared Payne was given out in that game. They would have beaten Scotland. Scotland would have legitimately beaten USA. USA would have beaten Canada. And I think it's probably about time that we say Scotland should now go over to the second-tier nations and play against Georgia and some of the teams like that, because they're not...
Italy as well have not had a good summer. They lost to Japan, they lost to Samoa, they lost to Fiji.
Yeah, you're right. Are you seriously saying that splinter off and have a tier two?
Well...
Are you just doing it for a rise? Because come on.
I think the Six Nations genuinely could do.
Yeah, two five.
Yeah, you could have Scotland and Italy playing against Georgia, Romania, Russia, teams like that.
I do think Italy might need a little bit more time, but they've got better individuals.
Well, some of them are ready to call it a day as well. Hmm. Like Parise, like Mazzi, like Castro Giovanni, like Bortolami.
Let's just imagine there wasn't all this history of four nations, five nations, six nations. Let's just imagine that for a second, and the promotion, relegation.
Not sure if I'd go promotion, relegation. I think I'd want more, almost like a, if you meet a certain criteria, you can go up.
Yeah,
or you can go down.
Promotion, relegation is like, it's too much of a single good season. Yeah.
Based on rankings.
Because a few years ago, Wales came pretty low down in the Six Nations. And if they got relegated, the next year they go and win a Grand Slam.
Yeah,
so it's not quite as obvious. Okay.
Based on rankings,
IRB rankings is spread over 2 or 3 years, isn't it?
And Argentina.
And it's like each year you have 12, 13, 14 games in that calendar year until the next Six Nations has been decided. So it's a lot of games that are actually taken account of.
Yeah, Argentina are getting hammered by the big three. I'd quite like to see them taken out of there and playing against Scotland. Just so, because there are actual good matches now, intriguing good matches with these second-tier teams.
Argentina should, I do think they'd be better dropping out of the Tri-Nations and playing in what's is now the Pacific Nations Cup, that Fiji, Samoa, Tonga, Japan, USA, Canada all compete in. And I think that's probably closer to their level, albeit in the last month's worth of games, they've only had a second team.
They're based in Europe, and almost, as we've talked about, an Argentina team in Super Rugby, which can then hold their players together.
Yeah.
So the national team almost acts as a Super Rugby franchise as well. Well, give us your thoughts on that at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Yeah, I mean, interestingly, when we actually look back to the start of the season, Phil was like really strongly saying about what you wanted the structure of the new European competition to look like before it was actually announced. And it ended up being that the IRB, it was almost like they listened to the podcast and went, let's do what Phil says.
Yeah.
The IRB may well be listening.
Yeah, exactly. They'd be very sensible if they were doing that.
Although they've not eliminated the knock-on yet, like I've suggested, or reintroduced the shoulder charge. So they're not listening that carefully, are they?
Well, you mentioned the Pacific Nations tournament, and there was a game going on down there, wasn't there, Phil?
Yeah, World Cup qualification game. Huge, huge. I guess you call it a local derby, although there's probably several thousand miles separating
kind of,
them.
Kind of.
Fiji played the Cook Islands.
And that's a long way away. Aren't the Cook Islands like by New Zealand somewhere?
It's Pacific, isn't it?
I don't know. It's all the same to me.
Down there.
Yeah, it was a slightly one-sided game. I think it finished 108-6.
The Cook Islands won?
So even more one-sided than the South Africa-Scotland game.
Do you remember when the Cook Islands played Commonwealth Sevens?
No,
well,
I don't.
Strange enough, I do. And they played the Commonwealth Sevens in the Commonwealth Games. And then they got their players to run in the 4x100 relay. Same players.
So that means that Fiji have qualified for next year's World Cup, and they will be in what I guess is the group of death.
Oh, yeah, isn't it ever?
With England, Wales, Australia, Fiji. Bearing in mind that two World Cups ago, Fiji knocked Wales out of the group stage.
Don't I know it.
And
then another.
Remember chasing an Englishman across the rugby pitches in Colwyn Bay after he overly vigorously celebrated the Fiji win. In fact, about five of us did. Locked him in his car.
But there was also a couple of qualifying games in the African tournament. There's a little round-robin tournament going on with, I think it's Namibia, Zimbabwe, Madagascar and Kenya.
Now,
and
they're all... Jack Berger mentioned this.
Yes.
When we interviewed Jack Berger, when he came and met up again with his mate JB, he was talking about how Madagascar, there's nothing else to do there, so they, like 50,000 people will turn out for that match.
So Madagascar got beat by Zimbabwe comfortably, actually, 22-57, and Kenya narrowly beat Namibia 29-22.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
But there's more games in the next couple of days, actually. I think there's games on Wednesday and then again next Saturday.
Well, that's my Wednesday and Saturday sorted out, then.
Excellent!
No games, Tim. No games.
Well, can we stay? You mentioned the Pacific and New Zealand, and before we move away from Down Under and come back to the UK again, can we just mention this? And it's something that I'm definitely going to tweet out at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. A hacker between two basically sick form teams, like high school, college teams. I mean, how good is this in New Zealand? They put these competitions on telly and big crowds turn out to see.
Really?
It. Yeah. Auckland Grammar School and King's College.
So
like under 18s, basically.
Sorry, I have messed up horrendously here. Right. I thought what you were saying is they are televising hacker competitions. Right.
Yes. Yeah, it's a bit like it's a bit like the Street Dance 2, that film. but just hacker. No, but this is basically the two teams. But one of the teams got the whole school basically to come out and do the hacker.
Wow,
it was amazing. We've got hundreds of guys there.
Wow.
They got all the Maori boys
and
all the rugby team in Auckland Grammar to do it.
Oh my word, there's loads of them.
Yeah. 200-300 there.
Yeah.
I hope they won.
God, I feel kind of sorry for the guys who are doing it because they're getting really fired up.
They are, aren't they?
Adrenaline's going.
And then some housemates.
And they're wearing cardigans.
They're wearing cardigans and long pants. And then they've just got to sit on a bench for 2 hours watching.
Sounds classic private school. They're going to get them all G'd up. Then sit down now. Don't mess around.
What an awesome spectacle.
There's quite a lot of nonsense that goes on around the hacker. So I don't know exactly what the rules are. I'm sure someone can tell me. But on the 100th anniversary or the 50th anniversary of when Wales played New Zealand, we were allowed to answer the hacker with a hymn of some sort, a terrifying hymn. And we then got smashed.
45-10 or something.
It was a big deal. But the year after that... they refused to do the hacker because we said, well, we sang our hymn last year. So I think they've got to do the hacker the last thing before they play. You can't respond.
And there was the other one where Wales didn't move backwards and the opposition has to be the first to walk away.
That was the third year.
Ah.
Right. So the second year, they had to do the hacker in the changing rooms. So they didn't do it on the pitch because they refused to do it on the pitch in front of the Welsh in case the Welsh did some singing. So the third year... we keep losing. I don't think you should... You're not allowed to do that unless winning.
It worked for the French, didn't it? When they ripped off the T-shirt. I mean, they didn't do anything after the hacker. They did it before the hacker. And they ripped off in the World Cup semi-final in France, ripped off their tracksuit tops, and they all had different kind of T-shirts on that made the line look like the French flag.
They did as well, didn't
they? A third of them were blue, a third of them were white, and then a third of them were red, and they were stood opposite. The French flag was opposite. It was, and the atmosphere was amazing. It was in the Stade de France, and it was awesome. And then New Zealand won. France won.
When you said they ripped off T-shirts, I was imagining some kind of Hulk Hogan entrance up to the pitch.
Yeah. You're going down. It's also, just on this video, the other school, I didn't realise this, the other school took off their blazers and the whole school ran on the pitch and they did their one as well in response.
Crikey.
I know, so both schools did it. Look at this.
Wow.
It's just amazing. All right, have a look at the video at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. It's, it's awesome. I love
that
it.
They must have spent far too long doing this. Yeah. God knows what the carol service is like.
Actually, there's one more thing to talk about before we depart down under. And we're nipping over to Rugby League. Now...
Yes!
It has been suggested that we have a new entrant for Banter Squadron.
Bah!
Bah!
Launch the music.
Banter Squadron is an elite group of men who safeguard the virtues of banter, humour, general entertainment off as well as on the rugby pitch. Now, already in Banter Squadron are Joe Marler. We've got the original, the Honey Badger, Nick Cummins. This isn't the right music, is it?
I think it's...
Hold on, it will get there. There we go.
Yeah, so good old tune this.
Nick Cummins and Joe Marler, and there's another one, isn't there? Haskell.
He's waiting to be inducted. Was it not Irish second row floppy hair?
Oh, Donica O'Callaghan.
Yeah.
Well, we have a new. It's been suggested that for Banter Squadron. And thank you very much, City9396 on Twitter. Paul says Banter Squadron Special Forces. Call upon NRL Cronulla Sharks Todd Carney. And he's then supplied us a picture of Todd Carney, the National Rugby League player in Australia for Cronulla Sharks. How do we put this? Stood at urinal, but he's not projecting wee into the urinal. He's projecting it upwards towards his tongue outstretched.
Yeah, that kind of does it.
When I first got this picture... as in Bulgaria. No, it wasn't. Was I? As in Hungary.
Hungary.
Yes. And I was fairly intoxicated myself. I wasn't tempted to try it, for the record. And I looked at this thing. I was like, that must be an old picture. That's got to be like some old kind of viral picture from somewhere. And then the more I got into it, the more I realised, no, this is fairly recent. And then I realised it was actually a rugby player. And it turns out this is getting quite serious now.
Well, as of when we record this, 4 hours ago, Todd Carney has been deregistered as an NRL player and told he will never, ever play in the NRL. He's never, ever allowed to play in the NRL again.
They're idiots. They are idiots, aren't they?
What's your rationale behind that one?
Well, he's not the first rugby player to drink his own urine. Hell, I've actually drank someone else's. So, it isn't the end of the world. And he was doing it in his own time. Now, some of the tweets about this were so funny. Mine was by accident, by the way. Now, some of the tweets about this were quite funny. One guy tweeted, "Can't a man just enjoy weeing on his own face in the privacy of a public toilet?" Yeah.
There is an element where I mean... Would I advise anyone to do it and let people take a picture of them? Absolutely not. But do I think a guy's career should be ended over something
he did
in his own time in a public toilet? I mean, hell, there are worse things that have happened in public toilets.
He's not hit anyone,
He's not taken illegal drugs in a toilet cubicle.
He's not there harassing women or doing anything bad. Well... It's embarrassing. That's what it is. It's just embarrassing.
It's put
and mostly to him. And like,
I need to get the picture off my screen. let me turn it around.
have you seen what the Daily Mail have done with the picture?
No.
They've
pixelated.
They've pixelated it out. It's like it's too abhorrent for them to show it.
Oh yes.
Censored.
Well, I did, after the Luis Suarez thing, I did take great pride in sort of saying, you see, rugby breeds a better kind of man.
This is rugby league, so...
Yeah.
But,
you know, the thing is about rugby, I mean, we know lots of people that play rugby because we're rugby players, but let's just think of the general population. So I think of who I work with, you think of who you work with, and how many people that we work with play rugby, like percentage-wise?
Very low.
Hardly any.
Yeah.
Because this is the point I make all the time. It's not for everyone. And there has to be a certain type of mentality which gets enhanced as you go up the leagues.
Well, rugby league has the old Mad Monday, doesn't it?
Oh, it still goes on.
Where at the end of the season, when most teams are out and it's through to the knockout stage in the finals, and they coordinate it so that all the amateur teams also finish at the same time, everyone goes on an almighty bender. Where pictures of people doing what Todd Carney's done would probably be commonplace.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. The amount of stories that I could tell you, which I'm not going to now, in fact, we could all tell each other stories, because that's what rugby is. And that's why it's not for everyone.
Everyone knows, and there's always, like you say, that was the thing, when I said, oh, you see, rugby's better than this, when Luis Suarez did that thing, I got a load of messages back on Twitter and stuff from friends of mine who went...
Kevin Yates...
But they said much worse. They went, I've seen rugby players doing this and doing that, and what about that? And it's hard to argue. There is a subculture there within rugby, which, and this is rugby league we're talking about, but it's there in rugby as well, which would put a lot of people off.
Yeah, it is. And that's why it's not for everyone. And I keep on saying it isn't for everyone.
Well, can I say, because it's been suggested that Todd Carney goes into Banter Squadron.
100%. 100%.
Just wait, he has got previous.
I don't know about the previous, so let's hear this first.
He's got a little bit of a previous. So, back in 2007, police pursued a vehicle they suspected of being driven by a drunk driver.
Mm-hmm. Was it a golf cart, by any chance?
No, it wasn't, actually. But the police had the sirens sounding and the lights flashing. Carney driving refused to stop and had a high-speed chase through the back streets of Canberra. After getting into a dead end, he got out and fled the scene on foot, turned himself in the next day.
He turned himself in?
Turned himself in because there was someone in the passenger seat. He went, it was Todd Carney. He got a 12-month good behaviour order, banned from driving for a couple of years.
A good behaviour order? That doesn't sound like...
200 hours community service.
A good behaviour order sounds like something which Johnny Wilkinson would receive yearly.
The Canberra Raiders at the time sacked him for that.
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, I kind of go with that.
Fine.
Now, let's fast forward 1 year to 2008. It was alleged he urinated on a man in a Canberra nightclub. The complaint was withdrawn 2 days later, but he remained suspended for a round of matches.
Okay,
so that's kind of, he wasn't substantiated. Let's go to 2009 now. He went on a vandalism spree.
Ah.
Jumping on a car bonnet and damaging the entrance to Phone Zone store. He received a 12-month suspended jail sentence, was ordered to undertake alcohol counselling. Now 2009, the next month, he was assaulted by four men. Carney reportedly injured a man by setting his pants on fire.
See,
a man suffered a burn to his buttocks, scrotum and upper thighs, having his pants set alight while on holiday.
What kind of fist fight do you have time to light one of your attackers?
He must be...
he had a season-long ban from Sydney Roosters. In 2010, he had a good year, and he was named Rugby League International Federation's International Player of the Year.
Wow.
What a
turnaround.
And then in December, injured himself falling from a balcony whilst trying to gain entry to a building after locking himself
out. I've got to say, this guy sounds like someone that could be in the rugby club and just takes things a little bit too far. But on the on the most, is actually okay.
There was another drinking-based issue in 2011. So he hasn't put the NRL in particularly good light for about 6 years now.
Give or take.
Apart from one excellent season where he played really well.
The great news is, I mean, we're in Manchester and we've only got a couple of rugby league teams down the road. Don't be surprised to see him here soon.
Yeah, Warrington.
Salford City Reds.
Yeah, Warrington like taking disgrace.
I'd go and watch him. If he goes to play for Salford City Reds, I'll put it out here now. I'll go and watch him.
I'll go for a night out with him.
Yeah.
Would it be irresponsible of us to put him into Banter Squadron?
No, it wouldn't. Because it does look like he gets in trouble because of banter.
I don't know if setting lights to someone.
Yeah. Oh, it happened to...
smashing up in front of a shop.
It happened to me. It happened to me. I got set alight doing a court session in Cardiff only 3 weeks ago. Only 3 weeks ago.
What happened?
I was doing a court session and someone flamethrowed my back.
With the deodorant can.
Deodorant can. And back of my shirt caught fire. So it does happen. It does happen. It is what it is.
I've got children. I can't put him into, with good conscience, put him into.
Let the boys play, Tim.
He can play as much as he wants in his own time, and I haven't got a problem with the picture that has seen him sacked from the NRL for good.
Yeah. I'm happy to give him some airtime, but...
Sounds like a died of a thousand cuts kind of thing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But we're talking about...
If that was the one thing, and that was his bag. Yeah.
But we've got a safeguard banter for the good of rugby, and... So Todd Carney...
It's not on me, this one.
Not,
I want him in.
You're
I
not in Banter Squadron. And there we go.
Keep trying, though, Todd.
Keep trying. One thing that is happening quite regularly now is we're getting entries, people pitching to have their club be the one that Phil supports. Mm. So how many years are we talking that you have been with Sedgley Park as a player, from mini rugby to first team in the championship even?
Yeah, 19, something like that.
Wow. Club legend, stalwart.
Yeah, but the last 10 of those years, I probably only played...
5 games?
It's definitely more than 5. I'd say half as many as I probably should have done because of injuries and a couple of years out because of studying as well.
The fact remains, though, Phil, the fact remains you went from mini rugby through to championship with your hometown club.
Correct.
That's something to be admired.
Home village, almost.
Yeah, it's... less than a mile away from my parents' house where I grew up.
But that's to be admired, but also it does mean that you've never experienced the joy, because every Saturday's been taken up for your career.
He has lots of Saturdays off, don't worry about that.
You haven't experienced the joy of supporting a team. There hasn't been a side you've thrown your weight behind, so Phil wants to experience what it's like to follow a rugby team. He just doesn't know which one. That's where you come in, you pitch why Phil should pick your team in the fan free agency, and by the start of the season, Phil will have selected a team to follow. He'll get the shirt. We'll go to a game and do a podcast at your ground. We'll generally big up your team. And what a shortcut to getting loads and loads of talk about your team on the HSC.
And then
Rugby
loads
podcast.
And loads of associated money from all the publicity, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
Pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. So, two teams today.
We need the theme tune for this.
Oh, yeah, of course. We've got a theme tune.
Oh, the Littlest Hobo music. Phil doesn't have a home, so here we go then. What are the two teams today, JB?
Two teams. I'll read the first one. First one is London Wasps. So this one comes in from Niall Prisk. Thank you, Niall. So he starts with a bit of history, and I like this history. London Wasps was derived from Wasps Football Club, who were formed in 1867 at Eton and Middlesex Tavern. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Rich history there.
Yeah.
Well, it was formed in a pub. I love it. They changed the name to London Wasps, with home games being played at Adams Park, which on a packed match day is one of the best stadiums in the Premiership. I'm not...
Well, hold on. If you can tell us the last packed match day, Niall...
yes, that is a fair point.
I went to London Irish last season, and I quite like going to it. It's got the trees as a backdrop. It's quite a nice part of the world. It's quite a nice place to have a drink, and you get a nice bit of sunshine in the afternoon. But it wasn't packed. It was far from packed.
Was the atmosphere pumping around the whole ground? Because that's how it's described here.
I'm sure it can do on a good day. You know, Christian Wade on a hot sunny day, scorching in for a hat-trick. I bet it's a good place to be. It lacked it on the day I went anyway.
Okay. So they've been a dominant force in English rugby for the past decade. I give you that.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, he's fair enough. Said borrowing the last two or three seasons.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. They've won 6 premierships, 1990, 1997, 2003, 2004, 2005 and 2008. Heineken Cup, 2003, 2004 and... 2006, 2007. So, and then there's a bit here about Dai Young, who's finally settled with his squad. I thought Dai Young was a very strange selection as director of rugby, because I didn't like him much at Cardiff. In fact, Cardiff were miserable under Dai Young for about 2 or 3 years.
And I've been in a room after matches with Dai Young before and heard him be interviewed and stuff. And I don't think there's a more honest and straight up guy in the Premiership for a director of rugby. To be honest, he tells it how it is, and he's happy to criticise his team and himself when they don't have a good day. And I find it refreshing when he talks. He doesn't try and, you know, pull positives where there are none. He just says, no, we're going to get back and we need to get on the scrum machine because that was below par and we need to sort it out.
Yeah, and I don't think they have as much money now as they used to. I think that's the other thing. I think if you look at... we don't have the salary cap numbers to hand, but if you look at their team, you suspect they're not spending up to the salary cap.
Yeah, there's certain positions in that squad that they look really strong and other positions they don't.
Well, that said, I think it might not be a bad time to support Wasps, Phil, because... with a fair wind, I think they could surprise people this coming season. I think they've invested. I think they've invested their money very well.
I think they've bought well.
So key positions.
Well, okay. So they've got a proven reputation with their academy and previous players coming out. Now you've got to be careful here because I will put you up on this. Danny Cipriani, Billy Vunipolo. Didn't Billy Vunipolo grow up in Wales? I'm sure he did.
I think they got them both from Bristol.
Did they?
But they did, to be fair, they did hone their skills, okay. Given first-team rugby.
Laura Solario, fine. Don Waldock, Tom Rees, and the current crop of youth is exciting. Elliot Daly, Christian Wade, Jake Cooper-Woolley, Simon McIntyre?
Sail Sharks, really.
Yeah, Broughton Park.
Yeah.
Broughton
Park, actually. Other names worth mentioning, Nathan Hughes, James Haskell, Joe Launchbury, Tom Vondell, and Joe Simpson. That's not... They seem like they've got the potential to be very exciting, but not very steady.
The way I think of Wasps is they've got some very big names and some very good players, like those you've just mentioned, but they've also got some weak links in that team, in my opinion. So they've not got the full squad to kind of do any damage to
Who are your standout players there?
I like the back row. I like Ashley Johnson, Haskell, Nathan Hughes. I think they've got some real gas.
Oh, yeah. Those
Joe Simpson, Daly, Christian Wade, Tom Vondell, Will Helu. They've got some real gas there. But then, like, in the centres, I think they're a bit weak. They've not quite got it.
Front five.
Andy Goode, yeah, and the front five. Besides Launchbury, their front five is weak.
Well, he said with the speed in the back three, they'll certainly let the boys play. It's always a positive.
Bradley, Chuck a line-out captain, James Gaskell, Chuck Bradley Davies in there. Chuck Tighthead prop Lorenzo Cittadini, 31-year-old, 35 Italian caps.
Yeah,
Chuck a 10 in there as well to complement Andy Goode, Rory Jackson.
Have they got Rory Jackson?
Yeah.
Ulster.
Glasgow.
Who am I thinking of?
Paddy Jackson.
Paddy Jackson. I can't believe that he's gone. But he hasn't, so that's why.
But 25 caps for Scotland, Rory Jackson.
Mm. Now, this is where I soften to Wasps. They gave jobs to Andy Powell. They gave jobs to Andy Goode. Unfortunately, you also gave jobs to Kenny the Bossman Logan. I'm not sure about that one. But back in the day, I remember when they were really good and they had Ibanez. I've heard a front row of national captains. I'm sure they did.
Vickery,
Ibanez. And I want to say, was there an Irish prop in there?
They're the New Zealander with grey hair.
Payne, no.
No, they're the New Zealander with grey hair. I forget his name. It'll come to
No, you're right. They did. And I can't remember his name now, and it's going to bug me. Oh, yes. Anyway. You're right. Yeah, so kind of rich history. And he finishes off, as I would finish off, most importantly, we have Andy Goode. So they're always going to be competitive.
They are one of the powerhouses of English rugby. They dominated for a period about 10 years ago, but they've been around all the time. Through the amateur era, they were one of the big clubs, produced a lot of England internationals,
Now... I think the best pitch we've had, in my opinion, and it's all about Phil's opinion.
It's all about Phil's opinion.
But in my opinion, the best pitch we've had so far is Bath, because he brings in the town, what it's like to drink around there, all those sorts of things. Now, I've never been to Adams Park. Tim, you've been there.
I've been there.
How's it compare?
I want to be fair to Wasps because they're clearly trying. I quite like the ground. For a football stadium ground, it's kind of, I quite like it because it feels like an old school kind of ground, which I like. That you get a good ale there. It's not, everyone's dead friendly. It feels relaxed, and like I say, there's the trees as a backdrop. But yeah, it's not the heart of a hub of a city like, or a town like Bath or Northampton, where you go to the locals just round the corner. So I think it lacks a bit of that. But they do have a rich tapestry of history and a lot of big names. And you think about historically some of the guys that have come out of there. Didn't Nigel Melville
a great history? A bit of a dip. Building again,
Could buy low, get in while they're in a bit of a slump, and then ride the wave for the good times.
Exactly. Exactly. And you won't be like a Leicester glory hunter or a, you know, someone who's... Oh, Northampton glory hunter now.
Now, yeah. In X Factor, they have boot camp that they send acts through to. Phil has boot room to send acts through to on his shortlist, where currently there is Ulster, there is Bath, and there is Leicester Tigers.
Yeah. And I quite like Wasps as a club. I do like their history. And I like the fact that they've contributed many great players to England. And their tradition of having the powerful back row, people like Delalio, Worsley, Betson, that they're continuing at the moment. But I don't particularly like the weakness in their squad. And I think... I also think they're kind of enhancing that weakness. So their two strongest positions are back row and the back three. And they've just taken Gaskell and Miller off Sale, who arguably won't even get into that Wasps
Maybe
team.
Gaskell. No, I don't think Miller.
I don't think Gaskell. We're ahead of Johnson,
Haskell,
and Nathan
James. What decision are you making, Phil?
We have to rush you, Phil.
So, I'm afraid it's a no from me. They're not making it through to boot room.
Wow. That one hurts. That one hurts.
That cuts deep.
Doesn't it? Okay. A second.
Well, no, let's just let that sink in. Wasps are not through to boot room. Phil is officially not going to be a fan of Wasps.
How are they going to go over this?
I would say, I think we should go to Adams Park. I think you like it, boys, but we might have to do a podcast from Adams Park anyway. Dai Young is probably my favourite director of rugby in the Premiership. Him and Jim Mallinder
And your favourite of all the favourites, Dean Ryan.
When he's back in the Premiership.
He'll be back.
If he gets back.
So, Wasps, we are very much fans of your work. I think your signings are fantastic. And I tip you to be my surprise package for the next season. However, we're not going to be following you with Phil as a fan, I'm afraid. Thank you, though, Niall.
Okay, and we've also got a quick one.
Is it a quick one?
It is a quick one.
Oh, go on then, come on.
It's a sort of one that I like, and I'm going to read it out. I know the answer, because I know Phil.
What is it?
Okay. Hi, JB. Bonnie Mine, RFC, pronounced Bonnie Mine, currently play in the WRU Championship, one division below the WRU Premiership. Notable professional era players to come through the ranks include Alan Wynne-Jones. The club has gained somewhat of a cult status following its inclusion in 1997 cult film
Twin Town!
Exactly, as mentioned by Tim, hence this. It has a fiery reputation, and home ground, Park Mer, I can't say that, is essentially a cauldron on match days, the rugby equivalent of Turkish football club Galatasaray.
I find that somewhat hard to believe.
Well, strangely enough, we know a guy who plays... have I mentioned I know a guy who plays an RGC?
Did you mention it on like episode 14 or?
Yeah, maybe
a while back.
And they say it is like Galatasaray. They said, oh, in fact, the whole of South Wales is like Galatasaray. So, if you're from North Wales, the following season, 2006-07, they won the old Division One West, but were denied promotion to the WRU Premiership because their ground did not meet the required standards. I feel that this is a match made in heaven because of the similar disdain in which Phil allegedly holds the law. Well, you don't, do you, Phil? You love rules and you love the law.
I certainly do.
Yeah.
Can't get enough of them.
Exactly. And now, more to the point, the club is in severe financial difficulty, smuggling tons of protein powder into the country, as is alleged, I'm sure, will provide the club with the funds to stay afloat. So what they want you for, Phil, is a drugs mule.
A drug mule. Yeah. Wow.
You know it makes sense. Cheers, Alex.
That's one hell of a pitch.
It is. They sound like more of a club for me than you.
But the drugs mullion, that'll be potentially lucrative for both of us, won't it?
Potentially, I'm sure.
Well, it's an excellent pitch. I'd like to hear more from like kind of lower level clubs.
I'm just trying to see if this will sway you. This is the scene where in Twin Town where the AC Cobra. The AC Cobra is driving around the pitch at Bonnie Mine Rugby Club.
Fatty forgot his hot dogs.
What the f*** is that?
It's a Cobra.
Come off the ladder.
They took him down the Osp in the Amblements.
Amblements.
Get this car off my club now.
So, Bonnie Mai's featured on it's made the silver screen.
It has.
Phil. AC Cobra.
I do like the pitch from a lower league club, but I think we've got one official Welsh lower league team for the podcast, and that is RGC.
JB occasionally mentions.
Sorry.
So we can't have a competition from that.
Yeah, we do have an RGC pitch, but that's actually 8 pages long. So
and written by JB.
And written by me. So unfortunately, we'll have to save that for another podcast.
I think what we're saying here is Bonnie Mai Rugby Club, it's a no.
It is a no.
Oh.
Sorry,
guys.
No one's made it to Boot Room.
Not this week.
Oh. Let's move on. Now, one thing we're going to be doing in the off-season a little bit is we're going to be having little close-ups on some of the clubs in various competitions, and we just happen to have picked Premiership one today. Now, what we're going to be doing is basically, as we build up to the new season, all the players are in for pre-season and signings are being made and assimilated within the squad, we thought we would just run a rule over how clubs are shaping up ahead of the new season, predict how we think they're going to fare in the new season, judge the recruitment that the directors of rugby and scouting system has brought up and see where they're at. And the first one of those is Northampton Saints.
Mm.
So Northampton Saints, obviously champions.
Yeah, current Premiership champions.
Built the right way for playoff football.
Yeah. I thought stash we should assess because that's very important to us.
Yes.
Signings as well we should assess.
Yes.
And then we should and squad in general. And our predictions for the coming season. So, Northampton Saints are keeping the same stash. Birder.
I tell you what, though, home kit always looks good. Always looks good. It's one of the classic sights to see on a rugby field.
It is. It's very traditional. And it is good. Their away shirt, that pale blue one, not so sure about that one.
Exactly. I don't know why teams do this. They get the worst away stash.
Yeah, they
do. It's like they've got, they open it up to 5-year-olds to have a competition or something.
I'm not a big fan of Birder, I'll be honest.
I don't know. I think they've done a really good job with the home kit.
Oh, yeah.
Stash, could do better, Saints. Signings, then. Well, there's only been a couple, and not exactly the highest of profile players. Joel Hodgson from Newcastle Falcons is another young fly half. It'll be interesting to see how he fits in. They've got Myler, first choice.
Yeah.
They've got Will Hooley coming through.
My guess is he's going to be awesome if he's been signed from Falcons. Not because Falcons is a hotbed of fly-offs, it is actually, but because they've got a habit of just taking players from other clubs who aren't as good and them turning out to be amazing.
Yeah, that's true.
I think he's signed very much as backup at the moment and then one for the future. Like a couple of years down the line when Myler retires, he'll start playing.
And then of the frontline players, it's only Van Velt's the number 8 that's gone. There's been a couple of other players retired or left. Like
Where's Van Velt's gone?
Paul Deegan's gone to Worcester. Number 8. But the way I look at it like this, it's almost like they're getting new signings in a way. Alex Corbisiero, Ben Foden.
Yeah,
Don Waldock. Injury. And what we saw from last season was the emergence of so much young talent in Northampton Saints.
That's one of the big things for me. Players like, the two...
Tom Collins, Stevenson.
Yeah, Stevenson, the two Waller boys. Yeah. Haywood, who played for a long time because Hartley was injured. Yeah, lads like that who really came through and really impressed. Without those boys, they wouldn't have won the Premiership.
It always shows how hard it is to do a rating without knowing really who's come in. So if you did this last year, you were looking at the signings and go, guy from Rotherham. Not interested.
Sam Dickinson. That's a bit odd.
A guy from San Francisco? Not too keen.
I look at the Northampton team and they have strength everywhere. I think they've got, we said it last season, they've got the best 15 that you can put out there. And I think now we know a lot more about their reserves and their wider squad. I think they've got one of the best squads out there.
Yeah, probably. All they need to do is make top four. That's all they've got to do is make top four. And then as long as they don't have bad injuries and they put out their best team, they could well win it again.
Yeah, they can beat anyone.
And the job they're doing for the England rugby team is tremendous with the number, just so many English players coming through. And yeah. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
I just look at them and go, well, they're definitely top four.
Yes.
No, I mean, without question, and like you said, yeah. probably top two.
The worst thing which could happen to Northampton is Stuart Lancaster has a really bad Six Nations. Stuart Lancaster has a bad Six Nations because if Stuart Lancaster goes, of course.
Yeah, Jim Mallander. I get what you were getting there. Yeah.
Right, okay. Do you think the Heineken Cup, the European Champions Cup is a possibility with the squad that they've got?
Maybe.
They got to the final two seasons ago.
They can win any single game. I think that's what it comes down to.
I'd be astonished if they don't make top four.
I would be. And the next one we're going to run the rule over is Sale Sharks. Again, another team. Let's talk about Stash first. They're keeping the same kit, that samurai kit with the little shark fin on the bottom and the blue and white hoops.
Reasonable. Is it reasonable?
No, it's middle of the road.
Yeah.
It's about as much as I expect from Sale. Sale shirts. It's nice, but nothing special.
They did an awful lot last year with not very little. Sorry? What did I just say? What does that even mean? They did an awful lot last year with very little.
Yes, that makes sense.
And I kind of think that they'll be lucky to do that again. And I'm not sure the signings they're bringing in
outweigh the signing the people who are leaving.
Oh, I don't know about that. I'd maybe query that because they're losing a few front row players. Henry Thomas,
who
struggled at times. To be fair, and he's still. I think he's got a couple of question marks, although a big prospect. Tony Buckley.
Now,
Tony Buckley has technically retired. I don't know whether that's just that.
Tim, he retired 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if that's just that. I don't know if the truth is he hasn't been offered a good deal, but Tony Buckley is now retired from professional rugby. Aston Crowell has gone, has hardly played in 3 years. So they're the front row players they've lost. They've got in Dimarci, the Italian international.
Now, I've not seen this guy play.
Oh, unless he's. Yeah, he played a bit in the Six Nations and he looked good.
Although I will say it's another loose head. I think they're going to have to move Ivy and Lewis Roberts to tight head.
Which can do anything. Because...
at lock, they've got out Kirill Cullerman, a kind of peripheral figure, and they've brought in Nathan Hines.
Yeah.
Scrum half is kind of like for like. Dwayne Peel out, Chris Custer in.
That's not like for like. Dwayne Peel's an excellent player.
Fullback, Rob Miller out, Luke McLean in.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good trade.
That might be an upgrade.
The one area I think have a glaring hole is at number eight. Now, I think they're going to have to move. And bearing in mind the year he's had, I'm not sure it's a good move. But I think they might have to move Michael Patterson to number eight from second row.
Can he play eight? Has he played it before?
He played six and eight for Llanelli Scarlett. No, Cardiff. No, where was he at?
I think Cardiff.
Yeah, it was.
Cardiff.
That's not a good move for him as well, though. Just getting called up into the England set up as a second row. And you play most of your season at either six or eight. It's not really what you want to be doing, is it?
And I think that's an important position. And I think that could bite them in the backside because they only put Gaskell there because they kind of didn't have a lot of choices. Mark Easter's all right. I think a big eight is a concern for me. But I think they've upgraded their front five.
They had the opportunity to sign Andy Powell and they didn't take it.
What did they? Did they turn him down?
Well, anyone could have signed him.
but again, you look at their squad and you just think they're one of those, they're pretty much like Steve Diamond, aren't they? Just hard edges and not particularly fluent, but hard. How do you see them faring this season? I'd be surprised if they got top six again, personally.
I'd be amazed if they made top six.
It's always more difficult if you're trying to play in the Heineken Cup as well.
That's exactly
it. Last season they were trying to play in the Heineken Cup and also trying to...
when they get ground into small pieces by Toulouse or someone and they've got to come back next week and then back up for a top six.
Yeah, pick yourself up at Northampton away.
Friday night.
I agree. I think they'll be lucky to get top six. I'd put them.
They strengthen a lot more than they have.
Eighth, something like that.
Eighth. Yeah.
In that sort of eighth, ninth area.
And I think probably given the amount of money they spend, that's probably about where they should be.
Yeah. Are they at the salary cap? Do we know?
That used to be what Steve Diamond always said. He used to say, "We are signing. We are paying."
Yeah, he did say that, didn't he?
He used to say that.
And if he is, what the hell is he spending it on?
Yeah. Solid season, but nothing spectacular from Sale Sharks. Mm-hmm. But they did well last year. but we'll continue. Of course, if you are a Sale Sharks fan and you completely disagree and you want to tell us what for and that we got it completely wrong, well, then that's all good. At Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. So that's another podcast done and dusted. We'll have another couple of more clubs next time that we'll be running the rule over. We will have some more clubs that are pitching to be Phil's team of choice in the fan free agency. And, well, who knows, between now and then, there may well be another rugby union or rugby league star doing questionable things in in public toilets. And if they do, we'll make sure we're there with all the news on it. In the meantime, I won't actually be there. Not actually going to be there. Although, but the enthusiasm JB had for it, he probably will be. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter, and we'll catch you next time. Good work, JB.
Cheers, Tim.
Nice one, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.